a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Thursday, February 1st, 2024. I am Paul Gallant. This is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. So, a lot of things to dive into. Today, we continue to take a look at free agent options for the Houston Texans. We are introducing another new segment entirely so that we can get ratings. We got to talk about the Rockets and specifically how aggressive Ime Udoka seems to be about what he wants them to do at the trade deadline. But I want to start by talking about, I think, the most fun competition going on in Houston. I am not a man of means. I am not a man of wealth. I do, however, have friends who have money. And one of the things that I always get a kick out of is seeing the friends with money all try to, for lack of a better term, big dick each other when it comes to purchases, cars, watches, picking up the tab, and hey, occasional generosity. But it's fun to watch them compete with each other. Now imagine you're a billionaire or close to a billionaire, and this is something that you do with the other owners in town because you also own a sports team. And I loved yesterday getting to talk about Cal McNair giving both Bobby Slowick and Gerard Johnson raises to keep them in town to work with C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans for another season, when maybe he didn't even need to do that. Were the Commanders going to hire Bobby Slowick? I don't know. Was another team going to hire Gerard Johnson? You would think so, but at face value, doesn't seem like he 100% needed to do it. Maybe more than 50%. But it was a nice gesture. And, you know, if you take a look at the other owners in town, it's a bit of big dicking. You also see that with this news being put out about how the Rockets are looking to add at the trade deadline, despite being the 11 seed, we'll get into that more at 10:15. That as well, it's a little bit of that too. And then you have what the Astros have done. First off, they gave Josh Hader a 5-year, $95 million deal. But second, they're not done. At least that's what they're telling us. And it just makes me believe that all three of these guys who own the sports teams in Houston, one, Cal McNair, two, Jim Crane, three, Tillman Fertitta, they occasionally like gather around like a massive two-story in a large lounge fire. Like, you know, it's like a fireplace, and they're all in their smoking jackets. They've got pipes. They're thinking about all the things they've done. Look at the contract I gave that Josh Hader fellow. I think I've just changed his life. Oh, well, look at what I just did for Gerard Johnson. You know, and I'm about to put on a mask because we have props here on the Paul Gallant Show. I don't know how many people have watched Mr. Robot. I'm wearing the F Society mask. I just imagine they sit around and they're, you know, while they're not big dicking each other, they're just going around in a circle talking about all the things that they are able to do with their money. And guess what, guys? The competition is not over. It is not. And I think right now, Sean, it's time for us to bring back an old classic, a song that some compare to cocaine. If we have it ready to go, this. Who says it's only a game? Astros. Astros. Like, I don't know, make a trade. Offseason isn't over until the final signing. With me now, Astros baseball. Who says it's only a game? We play that song because the Astros have answered in the Houston sports owner Big Dick Off. They have put their Schmenzer on the table because they just got a guy. Yeah, they just acquired a guy who's versatile. He plays in the outfield and at first base. In a game against the Astros this past season, was really, really good. This is a guy who's hit 30 home runs before. This is a guy who's had 32 steals before. I mean, that's really impressive. Now, both of those numbers came at the AAA level. But guys, the Houston Astros have added the left-handed outfielder with speed in the Trey Cabbage, who they just traded for. Yeah. Houston, a football town yesterday. Houston, a basketball town on Tuesday. Guys, is Houston a baseball town once again? Because this guy could theoretically be the answer for the Houston Astros and their need of depth when it comes to a left-handed bat and an outfielder / first baseman. The write-up on Trey Cabbage. He's a low-profile addition who fits the description of a player Astros general manager Dana Brown recently said the team might be looking to add. Left-handed bat, preferably an outfielder with some speed. He's a left-handed hitter who's played both corner outfield and infield spots in the minors. 306, 379, 596 slash line with 30 homers and 32 steals at AAA last year. And he made his major league debut in 22 games with the Angels, batting .208. Well, that's better than Martin Maldonado, and striking out in 46% of his plate appearances. I don't know about that being better than Martin Maldonado, but hey, listen, there's been worse hitters when it comes to batting average on this team. I like it. He's probably going to compete with John Singleton, if we're being perfectly honest, for reps, playing time. But hell yeah, Jim Crane, he just made a move. Dana Brown, he just made a move. I do kind of want Dana Brown to do a press conference for this one to talk about how big this move is. But look, this guy's going to be competing with Jacob Melton and some of these other people who I have no idea about. Joey Lopafido and Will Wagner, or Wagner, as it's properly said in the German dialect. So, guys, I think Houston might be a baseball town once again. Todd the Show comments 121 miles per hour off the bat. Hell effing yeah. That sounds fun. Sounds very fun. Junior Bronco says Cody Bellinger incoming. I don't know about that, but I mean, he's still unsigned at this moment in time. So there you go. Also, somebody asks me if I'm versatile. Yeah. I played safety, wide receiver, running back, kick returner, and gunner at the same time in high school. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Are you excited about the signing of the Trey Cabbage, the trade for the Trey Cabbage?
Yeah, I mean, all offseason we've been waiting for the Astros to make moves. Now, Trey Cabbage, Josh Hader, they can't stop making moves.
They can't stop.
They won't stop.
They definitely won't stop, especially when Jim Crane sees all these other owners in town doing stuff.
Yeah, yeah. If the Astros or the Texans or, wow. If the Rockets make a trade...
We're losing track. There's so much aggression. There's so much spending.
If the Rockets make a trade at the deadline, maybe the Astros do get Cody Bellinger.
Ooh.
What?
I mean, yeah, that's the next step. Or Blake Snell, who I don't really know about that one. But those guys are still available, and the longer that they're available, the better the chances of a one-year deal. And hey, if not giving Hector Neris a one-year deal with a team option for a second that could turn into a player option for a second, if giving, if letting Hector Neris walks allows you to bring in one of those guys, awesome. By the way, we do have some breaking news in the NFL. The Washington Commanders have hired Dan Quinn as their head coach. Oh, man, that's a bummer. That is a bummer if you're a Commanders fan. Nothing against Dan Quinn, but this is the same guy who officially blew the 28-3 lead in a Super Bowl. This is a guy who I think is much more of a fit with a team like the Seattle Seahawks, who chose to hire Mike McDonald. I keep forgetting Dan Quinn used to coach for us. I keep forgetting Pete Carroll actually had the best record in the NFC. But they brought in Mike McDonald. So Dan Quinn, the last hire among open head coaching spots in the NFL. Yeah, I would hate this, Sean, if I were a Commanders fan. That is not a good one.
Yeah, that's... Wow. I didn't think they would go retread like back-to-back with Ron Rivera, who's the ultimate retread. But
right.
Dan Quinn, wow. I thought Dan Quinn was Seattle or nothing.
I did, too. Now, maybe the Cowboys are kind of like, hey, leave us.
But he still got promoted.
True.
That's the thing. Like, if he jumped on to some other staff, then it would be maybe he got soft fired. But the fact he got the head coaching job, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty shocked by this. I only saw this on ESPN right now, so that just happened. Yeah, I don't like the hire, to be perfectly honest. But hey, if you are the Commanders, you should look at this and say, we will potentially fire him after 1 year. You got to look at it that way. Because, I mean, okay, are the Commanders going to get a quarterback with the number 2 overall pick that everyone's happy about? Honestly, with what's being said about Caleb Williams of late, maybe they do end up, like with the Texans and C.J. Stroud, maybe they do end up with the best guy. Jaden Daniels, I think, of all the quarterbacks in this draft class, Jaden Daniels is the one that I like the most, but it's entirely because there's just so much negative buzz around Caleb Williams. It has nothing to do with actually watching them at all. And I'll admit, like, I don't know a damn thing about it, but Dan Quinn plus Jaden Daniels.
But, Paul, the Caleb Williams thing, you know how the draft process goes.
I do.
Everyone gets a week where they get crapped on.
True.
or at least all the top quarterbacks get a week where it's like, oh, Drake May, like, oh, never beat a AP top 15 team at a UNC or whatever. Like, there'll always be some stat where it's like, you know, Jaden Daniels has 17 unpaid parking tickets at LSU.
Yeah, that's probably
like
up next.
There's
probably
just right. Always gonna be like, again, once a month you can just set your watch to like, oh, one of these guys is gonna be the are you sure about this guy.
If you go for retreads, Bill Belichick and Mike Vrabel are still available, guys. I do not understand the lack of a hiring of Belichick by anyone. It really felt like no one had interest in him except for the Falcons, and the Falcons didn't hire him because they were the only team that had interest in him. They're like, oh, wait, he's not a hot commodity? Oh, okay. But Vrabel going also jobless through this coaching cycle surprises me. Vrabel did a very good job in Tennessee.
Maybe Vrabel just wanted a year off. That could be.
That's true.
Do some TV.
Vrabel would be good on TV.
See him on the CBS set with Boomer Esiason.
But here's the thing. That's the problem. The TV set sucks.
And there's 17 people on them.
There's already
They're always adding people, never subtracting.
They never are, right. I mean, how many more people can they get on a booth? Amazon Prime is where it's at. It's worse. There's like 7 people on that booth.
Oh, no, NBC. Because NBC has like a full set on the field and a full set in the wherever their studios are. And then they have Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth. And then they have Jason Garrett. Why didn't Jason Garrett get the Washington job? You know, if you're going to go retread.
I know, you may as well go.
They don't feel bad firing.
Go more boring than Dan Quinn. Right, exactly. That's Sean Mabes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is Houston a baseball town once again? Well, Tillman Fertitta might have something to say about that. Really interesting piece of rumors involving Ime Udoka and what he's pushing Tillman Fertitta to do. First, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. True Western tradition. Guys, I love it. The original Pendleton Whiskey. It's barrel-aged in American oak. It's cut with glacier-fed spring water from Oregon's Mount Hood and the finest northern grains blended together. And it's an uncommonly smooth and rich taste with complex flavor. Pendleton Whiskey was born at the Pendleton Roundup, one of the oldest rodeos in North America. And with a rodeo, it's got that cowboy spirit in it. The legacy of the American cowboy is forged into every bottle of Pendleton Whiskey, as is true Western tradition. What's that? Living boldly, never losing sight of your values, tasting the moment wherever we may be. It's Pendleton Whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Also available on YouTube, youtube.com/ESPN Houston. Cooper, Texas comments, shave your arms, thank me later. Arm hair is so last century, bro. Is that a Gen Z thing? Are these little weenies shaving their arms? I know the shaving legs thing was the thing with people in my generation. No, you don't shave your arms. You want me to look like even more effeminate than I already do? I already look as metro as it gets, and I'm going to shave my arms? You kidding me? I'm going to shave my legs probably next? I don't get that. No. I'll pluck my unibrow. I'll sculpt the eyebrows. I'll give the beard an edging every now and then. Asking for more than that? Shaving arms? I'm sorry. That is soft boys. Cooper, Texas, you are in next week. Soft boys. Shaving arm hair? Jesus, what are we doing, society?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever actually seen anyone do that.
I haven't either.
I mean, I assume people have done that. Like, it's not a crazy thing that people do. Maybe it feels like patchy, or like, you know, it feels
There's
weird,
no excuse.
Gross amount.
You got arm hair. You leave the arm hair. If it's on your back and shoulders, which I luckily do not have, okay. Like, then maybe wax it or something like that.
That is funny though. That chest hair, fine.
Yeah.
Leg, arm hair, fine. Back hair, gross. Get it off.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like, but it is such a where we draw the line is weird.
It is. But hey, we don't write the rules. The ladies do. The ladies don't like the random shoulder pads of hair. Sorry, they don't. I don't get it. Another comment. This is from Honey Glazed Branham in response to us talking about Trey Cabbage. Paul, John Granato just said this guy probably wouldn't even make the big league roster. What's up, Paul? Well, good to see that John didn't steal show content from my show rundown today. Number one. Number two, who knows ball better? The man who supported Martin Maldonado, me, or the man who was calling for the end of Martin Maldonado? John Granato. Great question. I'll just leave it up to you. The Houston Rockets played the New Orleans Pelicans last night. Let's do an episode of Rockets Watch. Hit me, baby.
Rockets Watch.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
We are riders on a mission. Action kids in fine condition. Prepare to count up. Rocket power.
2024.
They lost 110-99 to the Pelicans. They made Şengün's life hell. They were basically just swarming him whenever he got the ball.
Pelicans swarm.
Pelicans swarm. That's right, Sean. They're copying D'Amico Ryan's. So basically, they forced him to kick it out for three. And the thing is, the Rockets are ass at shooting from outside right now. They have the worst three-point shooting in the NBA in January. And they were 13 of 44 from outside last night. Jalen Green scored 31 for what it's worth if you're watching that. But they've lost 12 of 19. They're an 11 seed, a game behind the 10 seed Jazz. But that's not the big news. The big news is a piece that came out in The Athletic from Kelly Yeko, from Shams Charania, and Sam Amick about how Tillman Fertitta and the Rockets, like Jim Crane with Josh Hader, like the Texans and Cal McNair with their coaching staff, they might be about to big dick themselves. Quote, the Rockets are going star hunting again. This might seem like a surprise to some, but a team that entered Wednesday 22-24, sitting just outside of a play-in spot as the 11th seed in the West, has big aspirations to be buyers and not sellers at this year's NBA trade deadline. And based off of what I read in this article, it sounds like Ime Udoka is really aggressively pushing for the Rockets to make a move. And I'm curious how you feel about that. From the article, Ime Udoka has been frustrated by the inconsistencies plaguing the team all season long. League and team sources say it's Udoka's insistence on making the postseason in tandem with the Rockets front office that has accelerated the franchise firmly into phase two of its plan. Armed with a profusion of young talent and draft capital, the Rockets have quietly repositioned their internal strategy in recent weeks. Just about everything is on the table in terms of potential moves to go and get high-level talent. Udoka made it clear this offseason he was ripping out the old floorboards from their foundation and wouldn't be content with settling for what he perceived as mediocrity. So maybe unrealistic, because if you trade at the trade deadline, maybe you lose out on a guy that still needs a little bit of time to develop. Also, if they make the playoffs, I think some would argue, what's the point if you're not competing for a title? But I, a hardo, like Ime Udoka's mindset on this. The big problem with the Rockets the last couple of years has been they've been so okay with next year. I think that was seen in Steven Silas's rather laissez-faire relationship with players, who we just heard from Kenyon Martin yesterday. They didn't respect him. I think it also helps that the general manager wasn't pushing for them to win. He was more pushing for Kevin Porter Jr. to be foisted on whatever coach into being the next James Harden. Clearly that hasn't worked, and they have moved on, and Udoka is the one running the show. I don't know what kind of trade they can realistically make, but I like hearing that Udoka is pushing this, and I also like that Udoka or someone close to Udoka is leaking this, because this tells all the players on the team, hey, Buster, you better make it work. It's a sink or swim kind of mentality that he is trying to, I think, put on the players. Why else would this come out? Especially since this does just seem like it is a bit of like a ass history for Ime Udoka and how he wants to win. This guy wants to win by any means necessary. There's got to be a motivation for leaking something like that out through a Kelly Eco or through a couple of the most prestigious NBA writers there is. I think, to send a message to some of the players. So maybe I'm putting on my tinfoil hat a little bit here, but I think in a way, this is Ime Udoka, Sean, telling the players, yo, if you don't work, we will dip on you. We will trade you. And I think that's good for all those young players to have in the back of their head, because they haven't really had any pressure on them at all to this point in their careers.
Yeah, I think it's not just a mess. Well, A, I think it's just true. It's just like plainly obvious and true. Like it's not,
yeah.
It's not like some crazy scoop. It's like, no, that makes 100% sense. Toma Fertitta and Rafael Stone, even before they hired Ime Udoka, were viewing this season as the start of phase two of the Rockets rebuild. And Ime Udoka has, you know, really pumped the gas on that one. He's put the pedal to the metal on that one. I think it's not just a message to the players on the Rockets. I think it's also a message to other players around the league. I mean, the article from Kelly starts with the Rockets are star hunting again. I think he said Rockets are star hunting again. And that to me is combined with how Udoka's pretty obviously like pushing to compete. It's that, hey, the next disgruntled, because that's part of the reason I don't think they're going to make a star move is because there's not really one available. Or the ones that are available, it's like DeJounte Murray, Zach LaVine, not really anyone that blows your socks off. Like, if they trade Jalen Green for DeJounte Murray, that's not a good deal.
No, it's not.
Even if DeJounte Murray is better than Jalen Green, it's
correct.
Not a good deal.
Correct.
The thing is, though, it might be more of an off-season thing where I think
you're right.
Flames out. Someone, because this always happens. Someone flames out in the playoffs. They get sick of each other, and one of the stars on Team X demands a trade. And the Rockets want to be back into that because they have a lot of draft capital with all the Nets picks, and they have a couple young players that I wouldn't trade just to make deadline moves that are ancillary, that are to get like a backup center and a backup point guard. Like, you're not trading Cam Whitmore, you're not trading Amen Thompson, you're not trading any of the young guys for that. You're trading those guys to get the star.
Exactly.
They're just, other than if, and they reference a Mikal Bridges offer that the Rockets made, if he, and the Nets said he's not available. If Mikal Bridges isn't available, there's really no one that would be available at the deadline, or has been reported to be available at the deadline, that you'd make a big move for.
Exactly. None of these guys are big names who have been listed. It's as you said, it's guys they're not interested in. Zach LaVine and DeJounte Murray. Yeah. The names that we're hearing are Mikal Bridges, Malcolm Brogdon in Portland, who's a two-way player,
yeah.
Or a big man like Kelly Olynyk, Clint Capella, or my guy, Robert Williams III. Oh, my God. I'd be so pumped if they got Robert Williams, even if he gets hurt.
He's already out for the year, so it's like a...
But would you trade one of those good players? No, right, for him?
Yes, like, but that would be a move that's... You're really improving the Jock Landale spot, and you're trying to get someone to play the... Basically, you're trying to get someone to play backup center that can play as often as Jeff Green, so Jeff Green can go into the Jock Landale spot where he plays like 8 minutes a game. That's the biggest move I feel like they can make, but the simplest move that would have the biggest impact is backup center. Just someone that can, that when, you know, teams either play Sengun off the floor on defense, or if Sengun's in foul trouble, whatever it is, you just need more minutes at center that are quality.
100%. To what you were saying earlier, you're right in that this is not just a, hey, young players, wake up. This is foreplay for potential disgruntled players who are potentially looking elsewhere during the offseason. And it made me wonder, only because I saw that he returned to the Barclays Center, and he's in Phoenix. Phoenix hasn't exactly gone great for Kevin Durant. Hasn't been the most fun year for the Suns to this point. This was what Kevin Durant had to say about returning to the Barclays Center, where, yes, he got a tribute video, even though he specifically asked to not get a tribute video.
You said you didn't want a tribute video. You at least watch it?
Of course. I mean, I had some great moments here. A lot of stuff that flew under the radar, but everybody in this organization and my teammates, we understood what the moment was like. Something I'm always going to remember playing here, and I'm glad we got the W tonight.
Suns have won 8 of their last 10. They are the sixth seed in the West. This would be an intriguing, hey, can you lure him here? Can you convince him that it would be cool to come here move for the Suns, who are in a weird spot because, yes, they have Devin Booker, but they also have a bunch of older players, and it doesn't feel like all of those guys are necessarily aligned for the future. So, guy who played at Texas, is this somebody who would consider coming here? It would be very cool. I would be intrigued by Durant joining a team like this.
Not just played at Texas, but also when he was with the Nets, funny that he was just in Brooklyn. When he was with the Nets, when they fired Steve Nash last year, this kind of got swept under the radar because it happened within like 24 hours. But the first name that got leaked out for Shams and Woj was the Nets are interested in hiring Ime Udoka. And they backed off of that and just promoted internally instead.
Interesting.
Because the NBA was like, hey, because this was like 3 weeks after he got fired from the Boston Celtics before the season started. And so the idea is that Adam Silver and the NBA were like, hey, you're not going to hire this guy that's like currently being investigated from his old employer.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been a bad look. But now that everyone's forgotten about that,
now
and it's moved on.
Yeah, now the dust has settled. KD, because he was obviously running the joint in Brooklyn, and if Ime was the first hire or the first choice of hire for Brooklyn, it was probably the first choice for Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. I mean, with Kevin Durant, you never know when he's going to demand a trade. So
I would love Durant here. I would love it. I think we all should love it. That would be a lot of fun for a variety of different reasons. We're late. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Up next, Michael McDonald's, the head coach of the Seahawks. Plus, we laugh at the New York Jets in the 10-minute drill. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now, with more nougat.
You're not cooking.
Pork chop sandwiches.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
So the breaking news today is that the Commanders have hired Dan Quinn to be their next head coach. All head coaching jobs have a spot. Every single team has a coach. Dan Quinn is pretty effing underwhelming considering Bill Belichick is available. Mike Vrabel is available. Hell, Eric Bieniemy would have been a better, more inspiring hire than Dan Quinn. You know what Dan Quinn is. It's nothing against Dan Quinn. From what I understand from my time in Seattle, when he was up in Seattle, very well liked. But we saw what happened in Atlanta in the 28-3 Super Bowl. And for the most part in Atlanta, that team had talent, but it underachieved. I mean, the year that they went to the Super Bowl and had that historic offense, you would think that the Dan Quinn coach team would have a good defense. Yeah, they blew a 28-3 lead in a game where they got a pick six. So, things to keep in mind. Meanwhile, the Seahawks have hired Yacht Rock legend Mike McDonald as their next head coach. I'm just going to, you know, do a little Michael McDonald riffing. At 36, he's the NFL's youngest head coach. The Ravens defense number one in points allowed. Sacks and takeaways too. Did you know he was born in Boston? He earned his master's degree in sports management at Georgia with a 4.0 GPA. He was 8-0 against the Kyle Shanahan tree. The 49ers, Dolphins, Rams, Texas, Bengals, and Seahawks. That's pretty damn good. But for all those people who believe Michael McDonald's going to be better than Pete Carroll, Pete had the NFC's best record the last 10 years. Something to remember. There you go. You're welcome. That was great singing. It was a great Michael McDonald impersonation, Sean Mapes, which I occasionally do when I'm doing karaoke. T-Bone's best karaoke spot in town. Shout out to T-Bone's. Saturday nights.
Yeah.
Only there can you see a 50-year-old lady singing Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
Parts of it was good.
Parts of it?
So some of the notes that, you know, you're
just saying the
hit,
notes I have.
Some of them were ambitious, I'll say that.
Well, listen, he's 36. He is the youngest coach in the league. And I get it. Like, Pete Carroll was stale. Seahawks fans are honestly a very, very, very spoiled group. They don't understand how spoiled they are. They also think they're smarter than everybody, and they thought Pete Carroll was stale. Like, Pete won with Geno Smith. Pete had a winning record the last 2 years with Geno Smith as his quarterback and with a lot of turnover there. And, okay, you hired somebody who's good against Kyle Shanahan, who's in your division, but is that a reason to hire somebody? Is that the only reason to hire somebody? Is like, wow, he's good against the Shanahan offenses. Eventually, the Shanahan offenses, there will be an adjustment. Maybe McDonald is the adjustment, but now he is moving from being the defensive coordinator of a team to a head coach at age 36. Pete Carroll was great at running the show, at being the CEO coach. We'll see with McDonald. I hope for the best for the Seahawks fans. Truly, I did have very fun times going to Lumen Field covering Seahawks games. I do think some Seahawks fans think they're way smarter than they actually are. And I know that they all love this hire. I would just say, you never know with a hire. And for as many people that love this one, I think there are definitely some potential drawbacks. Let's continue to look around the NFL. And The Athletic dropped a doozy about the New York Jets. And oh my God, it is so effing funny. I mean, you know me. I love to bathe in the misery of Jets fans like my friend Mike Meltzer, like the dead Jake Asman. To understand the issues that contributed to another Jets failed season, The Athletic spoke to 30 sources in and around the organization. They described a team riddled with excuse making, a paranoid head coach, an ill-equipped offensive coordinator, and an organizational tunnel vision on the quarterback that rubbed some teammates wrong. Oh, my God. Give me all of this. It's just such an effing mess, one Jets coach said. Something has to change. I would think that the number one thing that should change is the... I don't think I can say this. Bending over a barrel as opposed to, you know, dropping down on certain things for Rodgers is insane, but that's what they're doing. The Jets made Rodgers comfortable by pursuing some of his former Green Bay teammates, Alan Lazard, Billy Turner, quarterback Tim Boyle. He had a direct line of communication to general manager Joe Douglas. And the relationship that he has with offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett is more frat brothers than player coach. Rodgers appreciates having the free will to operate the system as he sees fit. I'm so proud of the Green Bay Packers just saying, fine, we're done. Because the Packers were great with Rodgers, and Rodgers acted like he was in this horrible situation. And then he joined the Jets, which is, again, just so effing funny to me. Rodgers, number one acquisition, Alan Lazard. Get this. After a 30-0 loss to the Dolphins week 15, Lazard, in a year where he registered the fewest receiving yards among 59 wide receivers to run at least 400 routes, and the second worst drop rate among wide receivers, said that New York was out-efforted and out-schemed, which pissed off Jets defenders. J-E-T-S! Jets, Jets, Jets! Imagine being Fireman Ed. Imagine being one of the fans of this team. Like, you have options in that city that aren't dumb, and you're loyal to them, but you're probably not loyal to your spouse, whatever. More Jets fun. Robert Saleh is apparently paranoid. Behind closed doors, Saleh would bring up how the Giants don't get as much negative coverage as the Jets and called it unfair. Oh, my God. An embittered Saleh conducted research, and as Jets losses piled up, criticism mounted, and he continued to basically inwardly say, but what did you expect? We lost Aaron Rodgers. He held a meeting with his staff 2 days later because that was leaked to the media. He said, quote, if you come forward now, you won't get in trouble, while threatening to take their cell phones. Staffers were bemused by Saleh's obsession with the Zach Wilson story and his reaction to it as well. Oh, my God. This just gives me a good old-fashioned pants down. Anyway. I mean, it does suck that the Jets gave Belichick perhaps his last ever loss as a head coach. But, I mean, the Jets continuing to suck when they thought they were going to be good. Like, every single bit of it. Jets fans' misery is sex to me. Like, championships don't really matter as much when, you know, you're just a born winner like myself who jumps from bandwagon to bandwagon, arguably, for successful teams. But the misery of specific fan bases just continuing over and over again, especially for those people, the dirty idiots, mostly. Mostly. They mostly come out at night. Mostly. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to jump in? 713-780-3776. Look, I know a lot of people are going to be mad about the next segment we do, but guys, we're doing it for the ratings. And if we all join in together, we can get through this together. As a country, as a show, we can do it. Stick around, Paul Galacho.
ESPN 97.5.com. One of these guys cheats at fishing.
We got weights and fish.
There we go.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
We are not afraid to do things for ratings here on the Paul Gallant Show. We have a segment dedicated to the Dallas Cowboys. All the morning television shows, Speak for Your Pizza, they do that. We also will talk about what's going on in the world, whether it's politics or pop culture. Unfortunately for a lot of people, there is no avoiding the pop culture invasion of Super Bowl week. Yeah, you know what we're about to talk about. We've got a new segment to keep tabs on two people and their quest for love despite all of the attention. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Taylor Swift Watch.
Taylor Swift Watch.
Travis Kelce told Taylor Swift, "I love you," after the AFC Championship game. He did. They lip-synced, or excuse me, they didn't lip-sync. That would be funny. She probably lip-syncs at her concert, right? She has to. She's doing that 3 hours a day.
That might get you in some hot water.
Ah, I don't give a damn.
Throwing around those accusations. Literally the only musician that you probably would get in hot water for...
I already have.
For saying that she lip-syncs, but... I mean, I imagine everyone at least has some help, some backing.
Honestly, if she had a couple of minutes where she's like LeBron James on defense during a concert where she's lip syncing, I wouldn't blame her. Well, her show goes for 3 hours.
Hey, I'll let y'all sing this one.
She is moving around, changing costumes in heels all night. Like, it is a show. I haven't been. I heard great things. I respect her tremendously as an actual artist. That is a demand to go on a worldwide tour all year and do all that crap. But Travis told her, "I love you," after the AFC Championship game. There's also been some news about the amount of screen time that Taylor Swift actually gets during playoff games. A Taylor Swift account tweeted that she only gets 0.46% of screen time. This is from the @Eras Tour. I don't know if this is the official Eras Tour or what, but this led to a piping hot take by the one and only Colin Cowherd, who has found himself a new subsection of fans.
I hear this whole thing about Taylor Swift. I just want to watch football. Liar. You're lying. A football telecast is not just football. In fact, the commercials for 4 hours before the Super Bowl will be widely watched. Listen to this. The New York Times measured how long she was actually on the broadcast. Do you know how long it is on average? 25 seconds in 3.5 hours. Against the Ravens, it was up to a whopping 32 seconds. It was 14 Chiefs and Raiders on Christmas, 12 Chiefs and Bengals, 24 seconds Buffalo, Kansas City. She was on for a minute against the Dolphins, but it was an absolutely awful broadcast. They should have had a concert in the middle of it. That would have been more interesting. Matthew McConaughey. All right, all right, all right. Drake on everything. Spike Lee, Knicks games. 80s, 90s, Jack Nicholson, Laker games. It's cool.
Do we want to see any of those people?
Talented.
Pause for a moment. Do we want to see those people courtside? Colin's making it seem like we want to see them. I'll be honest. Every time I see a Knicks game and I see Spike Lee, I get mad. Every time I see a Lakers game and I see Jack Nicholson, I get mad. It's because I'm from Boston and a hater by nature. But, Sean, when I see those two guys, I get mad. Matthew McConaughey, on the other hand, I do not. I like Matthew McConaughey.
With Jack, I'm like, well, because now it's like, oh, my God.
If he's actually out and not being a recluse.
I'm glad he's alive.
Same.
Like that, it's kind of come around the other way. Yeah, Spike Lee. I just kind of generally roll my eyes at Spike Lee at this point, because it's always like he's at the game, he's like getting really animated, and it's like a 15-point game in December, and you're like, Spike, take a chill pill, dude. Like, this is not Reggie Miller in the playoffs.
Which, by the way, he should have been banned from Madison Square Garden for that, because he arguably caused that.
Yeah. I mean, he's more at fault for the team he's a fan of losing than Steve Bartman.
Yes.
And Steve Bartman was, like, basically crucified.
He was. Seriously, with Spike Lee, if we're talking about... this is equivalent of, like, Shia LaBeouf, who is a Clippers fan. It's the same thing. Both teams suck. They don't matter. But this one's in New York. And for whatever reason, Spike Lee has decided, yeah, I'm going to be the champion cheerleader, the pom-pom waver for these effing losers. They are losers. He is a loser by proxy. I bet he's a Jets fan on the side, too. Loser, Spike Lee. Every time I see him, I'm like, loser. Just loser. Why am I seeing him? So I get why people get mad when they see Taylor Swift in the box. However, to Colin's point, he's correct. But the best part about this is that now a bunch of Taylor Swift fans have seen Colin Coward with this take and are like, yes, queen! Yes! Slay, Colin! Slay! The White Knight rides in to defend Taylor against the haters. I think he continued. He said, well, she's a beautiful woman. Yeah, I agree with that side of things. Like, I definitely, like a very horny Brent Musburger, do not mind when they show an attractive woman on the telecast during a game. I don't. I am who I am. Call me a sexist pig all you want, but what man does not enjoy a nice little sight from time to time? I'm not asking for OnlyFans. I'm just like, oh, hi. Hello. She is pretty. Very pretty.
Yeah, they really should. I'm actually surprised that American broadcasts don't take a page out of the World Cup's book. Where, like, the World Cup, they probably bat, like, 75% of the fans they show are just the most attractive women
Brazil,
you've ever seen.
Jesus. And then you're like, wait, is this person in body paint? Or, no, she's just,
I never wanted to go to Algeria before, but now I do.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, it's not just Brazil. They find all the top talent.
Yeah, they truly do. By the way, continuing our Taylor Swift Watch 2024. So, HRW713 asks, Paul, will Taylor make it from the concert in time for the Super Bowl? Well, per many Swifties in my mentions on TikTok, yes, she will, because the concert's in Japan, and then she has like 17 hours to fly from Japan to Las Vegas. So, I guess she can make it, but she might be jet-lagged. Are we going to see, like, Hannah McNair in the press box? Are we going to see, like, a zoinked-out Taylor Swift in the press box during the Super Bowl? Someone's going to have to give her some PEDs to keep her awake during her boyfriend's game. What, like coffee or something like that?
She can sleep on the plane.
She could. I would assume she's good at sleeping on the plane by now.
She's not flying the plane.
It'd be funny. You're like, is she flying coach? Gets redirected.
She can't lean her seat back.
Oh, that would be so
She's
funny.
She's in the back row.
That would be amazing. Or if someone in front of her is like one of those people who gets unnecessarily mad about it. Like A.J. Hoffman, who's a psycho about people leaning their seat back. Hoffman's the kind of person that makes me want to lean my seat back. I remember him like, oh, you're a Hitler if you do that or something like that. Like,
yeah.
No.
It was aggressive.
Now I want to do it to you. Like, you did MMA. You're going to fight me over me leaning my seat back? Like the 1 inch of space that you no longer have. Sure. Okay. Like, good luck with the $10,000 fine after the fact. Taylor Swift, by the way, will miss the Grammys. But, excuse me, check that. Travis Kelce will miss the Grammys. There was a chance he could have gone because since they made the Super Bowl, he didn't have to go to the Pro Bowl games, which he wasn't going to go to anyway. I love seeing this report. Taylor Swift's been showing up to her boo Travis Kelce's games to cheer him on, but he won't be returning the favor during her big night at the Grammys. Here's the thing with the Grammys thing, and people all, like the people that are way too into this, unlike us, we're just doing this for ratings because we think it's funny. The people that are mad at Travis for not going to it, it's not like Taylor Swift is in the middle of a competition competing with other singers out there. If that was the case, I actually would say, you know what, you should be there for something like that. But the Grammys are predetermined. Taylor probably knows people who could tell her whether or not she actually won. She has to go.
I'm sure those negotiations happen all the time.
Right.
With the Grammys, with the Oscars, where it's like, hey, this is a scheduling conflict. Is it like worth it? Like, are we going to win this thing or is it not worth it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I would want to know in advance if I'm going to win or if there's somebody that's going to win where I can be shown applauding because I like them. And she is very, very, very smart. Obviously, she's a billionaire. So I think that it's false equivalence to compare showing up for the Super Bowl, which is a game where Kelce is competing to win, versus showing up for an award show and sitting around for 4 hours and just getting drunk. It'll be fun, you know? It would be cool, but come on. Come on, people. What are we doing here? And that's going to wrap up Taylor Swift Watch 2024. Comment from HRW713. Girl, break up with him.
You deserve better. Could you hear the snapping into the mic?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I did. That was great. Up next, the Houston Texans have a lot of things to add this offseason if they want to be on the same level as Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. We will continue our free agency watch next with an option that could help the Texans defense out. Stick around.
Thank you for listening to ESPN 97.5. It means the world.
A whole new world. A dazzling place I never knew.